So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Jason Andrew, BMC Software. Hi, Jason.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Very well.
I like the name Jason. That's my brother's name.
Good to know.
He's more famous. The most more famous Swinsker. So you should Google him. If you don't know the name, then you should
Google him. Oh, I'm going to write that down now.
Me too.
So, Jason, can you tell me a bit about you and the work you do in BMC and bells and whistles and things?
Yeah, no problem. So, well, first of all, thanks for taking the time to spend some time together today.
No problem. My pleasure.
So I'm the general manager and vice president for BMC EMEA. So we have, I look after the EMEA geo, everything from Russia, Middle East, Africa, Nordic, Central Europe, UK, Ireland. I've been with BMC for 20 years.
Blimey.
I know, in tech. All right, so, but I've...
You're not going grey either.
Oh, I am, mate. If you look close enough, you'll see it there. I'm blessed with good genes on that one, nothing else, mate. But I've never really done the same job for 2 years. So
okay.
So I keep busy in this. I started in APAC and had the really cool times in the 90s of launching into Northern Asia. Broke into China when it opened up.
Wow.
And then moved to R&D roles, which for a, you know, naturally a guy that likes to be in front of customers was probably the most challenging job I've ever had, is running an R&D org.
Right.
Have run the Americas operation for BMC, ran a channel operation, looked after our largest outsourcers, SIs, and now took the opportunity to come over to EMEA in October 2012 because the All Blacks were due to arrive. So I just had to slip that in there, mate, and wanted to make sure I was here for that.
We had no heightened sort of expectations when it came to the All Blacks. We knew what we were going to get. Exactly. I think everybody else was surprised.
So, yeah, so but really enjoying it. It's probably more in line with, you know, culturally and living wise, more in line with what we like. Now, it's also probably what I really love about it from a professional point of view is the dynamic nature of EMEA. All right, not to mention some of the political challenges that are happening like today, but just generally the fact that you have mature, immature. You have aggressive, you have passive, you launch into new markets, technology that's been available for 10 years. I mean, you have the full diversity. If you sell in the Northeast or the West or the East Coast of North America, no offense, it's just the West or the East Coast. What they're doing, how they're doing it, and how they're approaching it, it's probably different by vertical.
Yeah.
But it's actually, from a business point of view, it's very, very similar.
It's quite a homogenous market.
It's just unique, yeah. Right? And even then, some of the regulatory challenges. I was in Davos last year, just listening to people speak when you can tell when you're dealing with someone that understands the dynamic and diverse nature of EMEA. And they can relate to, it's just different, it's a different approach.
I have a bit of a challenge with it, even just because the EMEA sort of acronym, as it's because Europe, Middle East and Africa, and you're like going three more different areas you can even find.
But when you say EMEA, they're obviously the weighting of those things makes them kind of sound equal, but for us, we've kind of, you know, fast growth markets, we're seeing massive activity in Russia, but Middle East and Africa, they're extremely fast-growing markets for us. Nordics,
yeah.
Very mature market, but taking off again, especially around retail and manufacturing. UK, Ireland, definitely coming out of what's probably been a bit of a glumpy slump for a little bit there.
Well, yeah, I think I'm not really sure that...
from our business point of view, I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, no, I think I agree. I think and there's a lot of businesses that have been sat on resources and cash and you know, put off decisions until they got to a point where they thought they became happier or more comfortable the way that is, and then things seem to turn around and they decide they're going to move. Well, they have to move some point, and they're starting to move now, I think.
Yeah, and I think the other thing on the way they're moving is different delivery mechanisms. So the old traditional, and now, you know, in tech or in software, vendor to customer.
Yeah.
That model's gone. It's not the norm anymore. It's a blend of partners, systems integrators, outsourcers. You've got parent and buying opcos. There's so many SaaS models, cloud models, on-prem models. The combination is immense, you know. And you've got cash issues in EMEA, So you've got customers talking about SaaS for OpEx, but they're actually looking at really just finance models,
mm-hmm.
right? Versus actually wanting you to manage it. So there's the diversity in how they, again, the delivery mechanisms. Because I think one of the biggest changes I've seen too is lining up as our organization does with, you know, the top end of town. It's people are buying outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not buying solutions,
yeah.
right? And you typically are dealing, it's a people-to-people process, person-to-person process, and you're working with a team of people and you become trusted advisors or partners, and then you're now both jointly responsible for that outcome. And these things don't transform or turn around overnight, they take time.
Yeah.
So it's exciting, and I like it. So
it's different.
Happy to be here.
And there's a lot of people that are still struggling with all that, so all those sort of changes.
Yeah, no, I agree. So trust me, we haven't perfected. I don't think anyone has, but that's part of the fun of the job.
Absolutely. Now, so we were introduced to each other because you've just launched some new products. Well, in particular, one which is called My IT.
Yes.
And I took a look at some of the literature around it, yeah. and I thought, cool, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me a bit about that.
So actually, on the bigger...
And also, tell me a bit about the genesis behind it.
Good
and
idea.
Why you actually kind of like got
there. That's what I was going to
do. Because it's quite a departure.
Paint a picture of the current situation.
Yeah.
And, like, I could ask you some questions now, turn this whole interview process around, and ask you, having probably worked for many different organizations, what's your experience with IT, right?
Uh-huh.
And you just don't even answer. You take another sip of your coffee. That's very good, right? And that's
a pause. It's a professional pause.
I love it. It's typically the answer.
Yeah.
Right. Even when you go to the CIO, or you go to in IT the lines of business, they pause
mm-hmm.
when you ask them. Explain to me your end user's view of your delivery of service. The value you add. Do you sit at the table as a business partner, or are you actually left out?
Yeah.
So the current situation and the current persona and perception of IT is not good.
No.
Right? So that actually complicates everything that IT has to do, because it, you know, by implication, it's probably seen as a cost center.
Yeah.
It's probably treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the good old late 90s, you know, early bubble, you know, you asked for money, you got it, you went and did it, you didn't show any value. Now those times have well and truly gone, but there's still this drive money out in a lot of cases, not seen as used for innovation, used to change the way the organization works. So what we're positioning and talking about effectively is a new IT. It's a new way of IT being viewed and used and represented mm-hmm. to its user community. We're talking internal now, so...
Oh, but I think what's interesting, though, is if... A lot of the stuff I talk about is kind of customer service, customer experience, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But you take it and you can put that, drive that right into yep. internal to business. So what we're talking about is almost like an internal customer service
yep.
around the IT department. And the same things sort of happen is you define who your customers are, and you've got customer sat,
yep.
customer effort, all of that sort of stuff. And I think applying that type of approach, that type of thinking... Just have a metrics.
Yeah, so actually it's a really good way to think about it, because if the same question about what's your view of IT, if you ask that question of an individual and say, what's your view of good service, right? View of good service is typically however you interact with the services you're actually asking for.
Mm-hmm.
If they're aware of what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
all right, if they understand, well, hopefully a problem before you have it, a workaround if it's available, a fix if it's applicable, you know, with zero interruption or impact to you just getting on with your day. And we do interact with IT now,
yeah.
right, as sure. consumers.
Yeah.
And we get used to working like that at home or at play, that when we get to work, we expect that, if not better, from the place that we've actually come. And by the way, whatever the generation letter is now, if you're recruiting people into the workforce, they expect that when they arrive in your office as well.
Does it move from Y to M?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Gen Y and then Gen M or whatever.
Millennium or something, is it now? Anyway, I'm a little bit beyond that. That's definitely the grey. So what we're talking about is, you know, there have been expeditions on transforming IT for many, many different flavours. And you know, business alignment and all those different, obviously important concepts and important things that IT needs to go through. But the new IT that we're talking about is an interaction point where what's important to you is actually the way that you, and how you want to actually have that data represented,
yeah,
and the information used is what it's all about. So it's simple if you talk about a practical example. And I was just talking to a colleague about this before you arrived. I travel a lot, right? Talked about EMEA.
Yeah.
We have 23 offices, right? I've just refurbished, as you can see, 17 of them.
Right.
So, yes, great, we're on a common Wi-Fi network, but when I move around and I arrive at an office, what's my local printer, all right? Where's my local work area? What's going to be my extension? Will all my information pass and move through that? How do I know how to navigate in the building that I'm at, right? And then, by the way, when I'm there, what services are and aren't available? Is any different from what I have when I'm in my home office or my work office?
Sure.
And how do I work with that? So, and the device of choice for me, the persona or the form factor that I want is Jason Andrew, General Manager of EMEA, on my iPhone, mm-hmm, or on my Android or on my whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm there, I open it up, tells me what floor I'm on, where devices are, how, if I'm connected, not connected, what I have to do to become connected, who the local sharers resources, so I can go and talk to them about.
Sure.
Right, and I can, just like people normally do, I can fix myself without having to even go to, you know, some faraway organization,
yeah,
that maybe or maybe not even knows where I am on the planet.
And so might not even answer the phone.
We're very used to this, right? You know, if you've...
We're at Facebook generation. Yelp or Foursquare or whatever it might
be. Halo. If you want a taxi, I'm here. Come to me. I'm ready. This is what I want. The concept applied to IT.
Yeah.
Right? Because, quite frankly, I don't care if it's Unix, Linux, Windows, three application layers, web balance loaded, whatever. I care about the services I run and that I can work during the day.
But it's also about connecting up people and things. And so there's a little bit of the Internet of Things and Internet of People and putting it all together. But also the interesting thing that you've done, I think, having looked at some of the screenshots in the product, is that, and I think this is the key for many new software platforms, is that it looks and feels familiar.
Yes, yes.
So it has that Facebook, Yammer, Yelp, Foursquare, geolocation sort of like look and feel to it.
You're right on the money, because...
Because that's all about adoption.
Yeah, and a lot of the design or approach to these types of solutions is you start from the UI.
Yeah.
Right? You start from, and I mentioned the phrase persona, you start from what are you going to do when you're there and how are you going to use it? Because if I was a power techie, which I'm obviously not,
mm-hmm,
then my quote-unquote persona would be, and the way I'd want to interact with IT would be dramatically different.
Yeah.
So first of all, it might not even be on my iPhone, right? I might actually be on my desktop, and I might be, and that needs to be another way that you can govern interaction, mm-hmm, right? Being very mobile, very, traveling around a lot, this is how I want to work with. So what we've done is, rather than define a couple of simplistic use cases, is we've defined personas.
Right.
And we've worked them to the ground. So we've said, if you're one of these types of interaction points with IT, this is all the things you want to do.
So did you actually start with the personas?
Yes, backwards.
And work backwards.
Yes.
And then figure out all the technological...
Yes. Well, a lot of the technology was already there. Most companies already have it.
Yeah, no, but you almost ignore the technology, what it can do, and then start from the persona and then work sort of backwards.
Yeah, so whereas normally the normal approach would be, hey, I want to raise an incident, want to raise a change request, a problem, a fix, make a phone call an agent. People start from that side forward.
Yeah.
What we've done is come from the other angle and said, hold on a minute, an executive, an admin, a technical person will interact this way. This is the back-end environments that they may want to actually work with.
Yeah.
Right now, having...
Because ultimately it's about solving their problem.
Yeah, and as you probably know, I mean, BMC's legacy, its history, is being to have those environments that support business being delivered on IT.
Yeah.
So now what we've done is said, hold on a minute, need we to support the end user community and its adoption and use of IT. So come all the way back to what we started talking about, which is the whole premise for this was change the whole current situation, change the implication of that situation, which is we think of ringing IT, waiting, putting on hold, being asked 35 questions that mean nothing to us, to probably get zero support, to get an email that's cryptic.
Yeah.
Talk to
me in a language that makes sense to me. Ask me questions that are only relevant to my kind of problems. It's not about you, it's about me.
Yes.
You know, design things that it becomes, it's plug and play, so I can pick it up and I can just use it. It just makes sense.
Yep.
You know, I don't need a manual, I just want to use it. Yep. If I can't use it, I'm going to chuck it away.
And you've seen some of the interaction, the UI. It forget about that. Just think about the way the user's going to want to use it.
Mm.
Right now, okay. Can I just say? Yeah.
Really nice example of designing something outside in. So thank you.
Actually, that's last week. We had our UI team's based in Austin.
Right.
Right, like the new or the Texas Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And he was out here with dealing with some early adopters, right, be the best way to describe them, sort of that have, you know, maybe got back in infrastructure, but pretty mature in the way they deliver their service.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, probably way better than industry average is in, you know, call volumes and turnaround times and SLAs and performance, but still poor perception from the end community.
Yeah.
So this to them is, what they call it is, they called it their beautiful IT app.
Yeah.
Because now they can put something in front of their end-user community. Now, it's going to take a while, as a lot of things. You know, talk about self-service and self-help has been around forever,
mm-hmm.
all right? But self-service and self-help, the way we currently use, as, again, back as individuals, consuming IT in our personal lives is how we want to consume it at work. That's not been around ever, all right? That's quite different.
But I also think I just wrote something about this, yesterday, in fact, and it was the title of the piece was "Abandon Email Customer Service at Your Peril," because it was based on this idea about the data, which was if you look at across the different generations, whether it's baby boomers, Xers, Yers, Zers, Mers, kind of whatever, and all the different preferences, electronic sort of messaging, but so. Email and text and SMS and stuff, not including social media and things. Email and the phone for most of those age groups were still the preferred sort of channels. Of course. And so you can put together a piece of sophisticated sort of IT, but if it doesn't have the option, which just goes,
then press the button. I want to talk to someone.
Yeah, I want to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
That it's like you're still not listening.
No. So very good point. I've seen people attempt to implement, you know, a request or self-help environments, and they'll do, you know, really radical things like get rid of the phone number, right, or and drive everybody in a particular direction or not let you go and meet people, or you can't do that
unless your experience is Amazon.
Yes.
And then
because well, naturally these pods of resource and these interaction points, people become comfortable, and won't that even be a generation thing? You know, typically in IT, the person sitting in your team maybe knows more about the way you use the application state than the person you ring to get help in the first place.
Sure.
So this is also about these personas that become peer groups and peer usage teams. And it's quite, again, it's not unique, but it's just developing something that lets people do it and work that way. So
well, it's in a way, it's doing some really simple things, but it's almost like, common sense is not very common.
So
make my life easier.
You had a really good. I've talked to some, you know, really, you know, I'd say trusted customers that when I kind of knew what was being designed and coming out. This is going back a while ago now. I talked to them about what we're doing, and the look on their face was, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But it was more like, it wasn't a blank stare like, well, I haven't tried that before. It was like, why didn't we think of that before?
Yeah.
Right. So. Exactly. I'm pretty excited about it. I think that so far we had a customer event, actually. It's the Kiwi thing again. It was in Twickenham in November. We put some user groups together.
Hopefully you put on some good food and some good drink to assuage
It was just before the rope with the All Black game, so it was all right. it was the whole point, because the year before I did it and we lost, so I had to do it again this year. So we had these, you know, different types of people in the user community, and we put them together, and we did, you know, some early testing and some verticals, and the maturity of the customer is going to depend a lot here. There's probably no sense putting a slick UI front end persona driven interface to drive self-help, and you can't do anything in the back end.
No.
Right? So this is kind of where the whole BMC messaging starts to play out as well, because we get the ability to come in, especially if they're existing clients, and talk about how we can take what they're doing today and transform the way the perception of IT actually is. Or we can say, you know what, some of the fundamentals in your journey or your roadmap are going to have to change.
Yeah.
And I'm really up for that. I'm up for having the hard conversation about, you know, do you want to participate in your own rescue, or do you want to stay a victim for the rest of your life? Exactly. So we set
back. Oh, by the way, this is not the blue pill or the red pill. And it
correct.
It doesn't solve all your problems.
Really big point. I'm going to say no, right? And I'm going to say these things need to happen first before you get there.
Which is around culture and people and kind of...
That's a really big point.
Internal SLAs and all that stuff.
Comes back to your people want to pick up the phone. That's cultural driven as well, right? Yeah. So these transformation driven projects, of which this can definitely be a part of, but they typically require process and people to be in line. And that's the hard part of the move.
Yeah.
It's not the easy part. So,
tell me a little bit about, you talk about test cases and use cases and things, because this is yeah. very, very new. Yeah. Tell me about, I mean, don't have to tell me about them, but tell me a bit about some examples of what they're doing and the benefits that they're seeing, you know, as much as you can.
Yeah, so as I said earlier, I'm not going to drop names of customers, because some of them actually, especially if they're in retail, see this as game changing, because their end user might be at a kiosk or a point of sale device, right? So, and they're probably more in tune to interacting, like you said before, with a Facebook-like space. Why bother pounding central IT with a problem when a community has got an unavailable service? Check that
particularly if you're in a retail environment where you're moving to really having mobile or enabled assistance.
Yeah.
It's all about mobile equipment.
So you've got simple use case like posting and messaging.
Yeah.
Which maybe isn't something that's brand spanking new, but I was also explaining this use case before. Let's say you have a team of a couple of thousand people you bring together, training, conference, whatever, in your organization. You host them in a building. We've just been through this with a customer. When they arrived on their mobile device, on check-in, their mobile device was loaded with MyIT.
Okay.
It told them the layout of the conference center they were in. It told them what network printing business services were available in the network center, in the building. It then posted them their agenda, posted the what they'd signed up for, and then raised the calendar appointments for them and showed them the layout, map, and view of how they got around, moved around those appointments.
So, I mean, that's an external facing app, not just an internal app.
It's IT delivering value.
Well, indeed.
Changing,
I'm just thinking about you selling it into the events management space as well.
Well, we thought about that. But IT delivered that.
But that's cool.
Right. But that's a completely different use case to managing tickets and message boards and volumes. That is now when that division arrives, that team has got an interaction point when they get back to the office, and suddenly now people start laying out the building or the building maps or the building floors, and they start putting in that exact same capability, but as it relates to their organization, not just when they're out of the field in a conference scenario. Magical. And that's part of what we did. We launched at Pink Elephant, the IT Service Management Forum Group. One of the things we did was when people arrived to the Pink launch, that was in Canada, we posted MyIT to their device, just an app.
Yeah.
And then we posted everything that was happening in the conference to their app, and then they could manage the conference capability through. So it was a cool way to launch it. Within 5 minutes, they're using it.
That's so nice.
Maybe not exactly answering your question, because the typical use cases that you'll have to interact and work with IT will still be there.
Mm.
It's just changing the way you do it by changing the interface you use.
But it's merging IT and facilities management and locations and all of that sort of stuff. You know,
and
telecommunications. Yeah, it's saying that this isn't silos.
Yep.
Actually, this needs all to work together.
I had a train of thought there. I think that, and I don't want to make this a false challenge, but more visionary executives that are trying to work out how they reset how IT is seen.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the traditional path of trying to make all the other stuff they've had do it a little bit better, right? Faster, smarter, cheaper. Or the other option is to completely, you know, everybody turn left.
Yeah.
Because right now, and so the a lot of the things we do inside BMC are business case driven, mm-hmm. like a lot of organizations. You've got to show an ROI, a TCO, you've got to prove your value, right? This is an outcome driven project.
Yeah.
When you talk about something like this, right, about transforming the perception,
mm-hmm.
it's difficult to put a tangible value against it.
Well, of course. It's an emotional sort of like
thing. Yeah, it's now this thing you said before about people and culture, right? You're going to change the core of how IT is seen. So yes, you'll get use cases that drive pure value, and you can audit them against an outcome, but the real value and benefit will come by just the view of we're a different organization now.
Absolutely.
So that's fundamentally the big change.
So is it the first of its kind?
Well, I believe so. I mean, listen, I'm sure someone will say we've developed their own individual version of this. Oh, we can do that. It's a slick front end. But I think when you couple what we've always done in, you know, the back end data center with this environment and what we're delivering with MyIT, then yeah, I believe it is. Brilliant. Don't be as bold to say we're the...
it's the first ever.
Yeah, yeah. Good one. Thanks, mate. Just throwing me right on the spot now. So I think we're close.
Good. So what's your view on how does it impact external customer service and customer experience, do you think?
So I'm going to paint that a little bit different. Probably one of the biggest verticals that BMC deals with is the outsourcer SI community.
Okay.
So, and it's a two-tier or a multi-tenanted model.
Yeah.
So they're quite often delivering up a service to hundreds of different customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the differentiation between one outsourcer or one SI and another, typically not a lot.
No offense
to those on the phone. But they'll start moving in small pieces and they try to, I'm better than they are. This is something, and again, companies often will sign up for 3, 5, whatever the term is, and then they'll move to a different one. This is a way of allowing them to differentiate the service they offer. So the end user community becomes their end user customer. So we service the service provider who passes on the service to the end user. Similar concept could be for telco delivering hosted cloud services.
Yeah.
Right, where the end user client is now maybe buying a rack or stack or buying a view of available hosted resource, where the MyIT interface might be, what am I purchasing? Is it working for me? Have I seen any issues with it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably, although we have interfaces to let you click and buy, click try buy, I would probably see my IT as day two,
mm-hmm.
right? You've clicked it, you've bought it, you're trying it. Now you're actually wanting it to make sure it's working.
Sure.
Are services available? Are events occurring? That's my posted interface. Now, some of the form use, the persona use cases may be different because in both models, whether you're the SI outsourcing multi-tenanted model or you're the hosted cloud service provider model, but that's the way the interface can actually work. We can change the persona.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think
I moved away from IT
into
people selling IT services.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and the way I look at it is that, it's a bit like, forgive the simplicity of the explanation, it's a bit like if you make the internal parts move better, then the external manifestation is going to be.
No one wants to see the junk that makes it work.
No, but if you make the junk kind of work better, and make the people and the processes it's going to work better, then you pretty
change perception.
Yeah, it's a good bet that the external delivery is going to get better as well. So, is this just for big corps, with large kind of a big geographical footprint?
No, who's it for? That's a good question. I've done put a lot of thought process into segmentation, into tearing the different verticals and looking at what's applicable where. This is applicable for any organization over 1,000 people. right? Because you're still delivering IT services. You've still got core backbone of, you know, things, day-to-day things like the office apps,
mm-hmm.
And then the back office business apps that you need to deliver. And whether you're delivering yourself or you're having it delivered for you by some other organization, this is about a perception reality change in the way IT works. So mm-hmm. I probably think early adopters, there'll be some particular verticals that will go heavy and hard on this first. Maybe the more ones that are, again, more mature in their view of service management.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where we'll target. I see the biggest growth maybe in that space, but I don't think there's I probably meet 5 to 8, companies, clients, customers, prospects a week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's ever one that says I've got it worked out and we are the most beautiful thing since sliced bread. So the target is high and wide. So
yeah, okay.
At the moment, I'll narrow it next time we meet.
So, well, that's brilliant. It's going to give me a proper sort of view of what you guys are up to. I mean,
yeah, just you're aware of what we're doing as a company too, right?
Yeah, because
we're private now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know you were listed and then you got taken private, but I guess it's all a lot of it's about.
But this is where you see innovation come into play.
Well, that's the
right.
Yeah, I mean it's the interesting thing. If you move away from the tyranny of the
90 days,
the reporting, right, and all that sort of stuff, it allows you to do different things.
So, making an investment. So my IT from piece of paper to delivery was about a private company being able to say, without being beholden to a 90-day
Wall Street program. What's like sort of like kind of thing?
Or even better, pick this bunch of really talented resource from 10 different orgs that were just keeping them running, put them in a...
scum court.
Yeah, put them in a really agile, super aggressive space, give them a really small charter, and give them 60 days to sort it out. All right, and so as a long-term BMC, a 20-year veteran, seeing innovation like this pop out, where maybe for the last 2 or 3 years it's been about hunkering down, and shields up sort of thing. Now it's shields down, visors open. What's the art of the possible?
Yeah,
and that's quite exciting for
us. It's a good way of sort of reinventing.
Yeah, and innovation. I think the key thing for tech companies, the best form is innovation from organic innovation from the inside out, rather than acquisition.
Yeah.
Right. So both are good, but there's a super talented group of people in BMC, and this is something that has gone from idea to delivery from BMCers, right? And I think for us anyway, I see it as game changing. So pretty excited about what it brings, and I think having the support of our sponsors, as we refer to them, behind us to say grow as an organization, your first goal is growth. Growth will come from being better at what we do now, and growth will come from innovation.
New things, new markets.
New things, new markets, new opportunities. And I've got the best of both worlds. I've got at my back door, I've got EMEA.
Yeah.
Right. I've got this dynamic, going back to the beginning of the podcast, diverse market structure, with some really cool, proven technology, with some hot innovation, right? So I can, you ask me what's the target, it's big and wide, because we've got markets trying to attack other markets in EMEA,
mm-hmm.
and they want innovation as well. So I'm pretty excited about what this offers, and what the outlook looks for us as a private company too.
Fantastic. So is there anything else that you'd like to sort of add before I ask you,
Mark? No, I'd like to do a follow-up. I think the really cool thing would be for you and me,
uh-huh.
to put a stake in the ground, have a time when it's you, me, and a customer, a user, right? And we sit down and we have a three-way little view, and we can reference what we spoke about for the last 37, 38 minutes.
Uh-huh.
We can ask customer
get a customer's view.
Talk about it. What it do? How's it changed? We'll pull it, we'll have it open, play around on it. You can have a view on it. It's a podcast, but
brilliant.
We'll get a sort
of
view
of it. I think we should do that. That's the first time somebody's... asked me to do that, so I think that's brilliant. Yeah. But then my final question that I always ask is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug? Being a Kiwi, I wonder if that's kind of
hard. Yeah, it's going to be rugby, mate, isn't it? No, you know what? I think if anybody is listening and they want the opportunity to just have a conversation about this, there's no prereq for doing it. It's just I'm only too happy to take the time. I'll come and meet you, have a coffee, and we'll work it through.
Brilliant.
No problem.
Thank you.
No problem.